Through these weeks after the Epiphany, our scripture readings have focused on the revelation of Jesus, showing us the nature of the one born, the child of Mary, back weeks ago on Christmas. And throughout the season, in particular, we have seen the divinity of Jesus revealed. If we cast our minds way back, we can remember this all began on January 6th with the Feast of the Epiphany, the visit of the wise men, the gift-bearing astrologers from the East, the first Gentiles who come to worship the baby Jesus. Then followed the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, the one who is without sin, going down into the waters with the multitude of humanity, with all the people who seek to turn their lives around to reorient themselves to God. And at his baptism, we heard the voice declare Jesus the Beloved. And then the third manifestation, which we don't hear every year, but we were fortunate this year to do so, was the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, that first miracle of Jesus, when the wine runs out and Jesus turns water into an abundance, an astounding abundance of the best wine, showing us how much God loves us, showing us the abundant life to which God calls us. And then 2 weeks ago, we heard how Jesus spent the night in prayer before he called his apostles, how Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and taught the people, attracting large crowds. He healed people of their diseases, their infirmities. And Luke told us the Spirit is so strong in Jesus, it flows out of him. Those who simply touch his clothes are healed. Jesus then went on to teach us in the Beatitudes, teach us that those who are forgotten, excluded, marginalized in this world are the blessed of God. And warn those in this life who are full now and satisfied, they've already had their reward. And that brings us to today, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, when we hear an account, a final account of a manifestation of Jesus. Jesus takes Peter and John and James up the mountain, and while Jesus prays, his appearance changes. His clothes become dazzling white. Jesus talks with Moses, the one who received the law, the one who led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And he talks with Elijah, the great prophet of God. And again, we hear the voice of God declare Jesus God's Son, God's chosen, and telling the disciples to listen to him. And if you're visual, that is our transfiguration window, showing that very scene. Throughout Scripture, mountaintops become places where God is encountered. Both Moses and Elijah have experiences on mountains where they are in the presence of God. In our day, we speak of mountaintop experiences, a time when something profound and significant happens, and often that means an encounter with the holy, a time we experience God's presence. I remember long ago when I was a teenager having such an experience. Our parish youth group spent a Saturday in retreat, and we climbed a mountain in central Massachusetts. Now, don't get too excited. It's central Massachusetts. It really was a hill, but it was the highest hill. And on that mountaintop, we spent the day in prayer, in conversation, times of quiet. And at the end, on a rock at the very top, we celebrated the Eucharist. And I confess that at the end of the day, I did not want to leave. It was a profound and a holy experience, and I wanted it to continue. But we had to leave, we had to descend and return to our daily lives. And so I had great sympathy for Peter in today's gospel, because Peter expresses some of this. He says, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter has this experience and wants to enshrine the moment, to mark the location. And while it sounds strange to us, he wants to do so in a very biblical way, creating some kind of visible marker of this moment. But I also have sympathy with Peter when the gospel says he did not know what to say. I don't find that surprising. Would you know what to say? I certainly wouldn't. How can we put into words an experience like that? What would we make if we saw Jesus dazzling white, talking with Moses and Elijah, if we heard the voice from heaven? It really is only after the death and the resurrection of Jesus that this mountaintop experience begins to make sense to Peter and to the others. The three apostles that day are having a profound experience, and it's an experience of seeing Jesus as he truly is. They're given the gift of seeing Jesus, glimpsing his glory as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. They see Jesus in dazzling resurrection light, in the fullness of his divinity. They see the glory that is Jesus' true nature. But they only have a glimpse. Just enough, I think, to set their hope on as they go down that mountain and move on to the difficult times ahead. Because they have to go down. And they have to go to Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, the city that will kill Jesus. And Jesus moves from that mountain and sets his face to Jerusalem, and they journey on that difficult road. They are heading to that moment where Jesus will be betrayed and handed over to sinners, tortured and crucified, and will die on a cross. He dies not for any crime or sin, but because he refuses to stop loving. And on the third day, Jesus is raised from the dead to the glory that is his, to the glory that he comes to bestow on humanity, changing us from glory into glory, as we prayed in our collect of the day. Jesus comes to lift us, to restore us to the divine life of God. Just like Jesus, we only come to the fullness of God's glory by bearing our cross. Like the disciples, we must also walk to Jerusalem. We must follow Jesus in the way, trusting it is the path of true and abundant life. We must follow Jesus through the waters of baptism, those waters where we die to sin and we rise to the glory of God, to that glory that Jesus shares with us. Each year on this Sunday before Lent, we read an account of the Transfiguration. And I think it's important. It reminds us of where we are heading. And it reminds us that we have not yet arrived. There is a challenging road ahead of us, a road that is not easy, a road we may not always feel like walking, certainly a road that we don't always faithfully travel. And to help us recommit to following Jesus in this way, the Church gives us the gift of the season of Lent, the 40 days in which we are called to reorient ourselves to God. Now, I confess that when I was younger, I did not look forward to Lent. It seemed a dreary season. It seemed a season with so much focus on my own sinfulness and unworthiness. But the older I get, and certainly since I became an Episcopalian, I have a new appreciation for this season of Lent. And now I'm coming to see it as a rich experience, even as a gift. The season of Lent is not a time to beat ourselves up. It is not a time to feel bad or unworthy. But it is a time to be honest. honest about where we are in relation to God, to our neighbor, to ourselves, and the whole of creation. It is the time to renew our commitment to follow Jesus where he leads us. It is a season to adjust our vision, to be sure our eyes are fixed on him, that we are following him, that we are focused on him, that we walk in the light of his glory. Lent is the time we're called to examine our hearts and our lives and ask, where is God leading us? How are we being called to change and to grow? How is God leading us to be transformed, maybe even transfigured, that we walk more faithfully in the paths of holiness? This coming Wednesday is, as you likely know, Ash Wednesday. And during the liturgy that day, we will be invited to keep a holy Lent. The Book of Common Prayer invites us to keep this season by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. As we move close to Lent in these final days of this season, I invite you to take time in quiet and in prayer, to ask, how is God calling you to keep a holy Lent? How are we being called into deeper relationship with God? What practices and activities that we now undertake distract us from following Jesus? What are we being called to let go of for these 40 days so that we are more open to God in new and fresh ways? How is God calling us to deepen our relationship with God, with our neighbor, with ourselves, and with creation? And how does God desire to bless us in this holy season? Jesus invites us to share his divine life. Until we too glow with the radiance of his glory, just like Moses after Moses had been in the presence of God. Like Moses, we are called to reflect the light of Christ, that everyone sees God's glory in us. When I think about the transfiguration, I know it refers to Jesus being transfigured on the mountaintop, but I also wonder if this experience maybe transfigured the apostles. Maybe they're transformed by what they experienced. Certainly, they leave behind the mountain and they go with Jesus to Jerusalem. They don't do it perfectly. They don't always understand what is happening or who Jesus is, but they go. And most of the men will drift away on Good Friday at that final moment of Jesus on the cross, but they come back. And after Jesus is killed and raised from the dead, they understand what they saw that day on the mountaintop. They are transformed. They are filled with the light of Jesus, and they go out into the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they do the very things Jesus did. They teach, they preach, they heal, they raise the dead, and they give most of them their lives in witness to Jesus. The transformation that they experienced, we too are called to experience. The life they lived is the same life that we are called. We follow the same Jesus. We are filled with the same Holy Spirit. We are bathed in the same divine light. Jesus invites us to share his divine life, that same life that Peter and John and James and all those other followers of Jesus before us have shared. Jesus calls us into deep, intimate relationship with him until we glow with his radiance, until we are transformed into the people God creates us to be. And so let us answer this call by setting out on the journey before us, following Jesus in his way of love, wherever it may take us. May we use the gift of the approaching season of Lent to strip away whatever distracts us so that we hear his call clearly. And may we always follow Jesus, accepting the glory of the divine life that he so lovingly desires to share with us. Amen.